Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 21 and verse 8. 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 8. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 479. I'm going to read several verses. I want you to read it carefully, and I'll interject just a tad of teaching as I go along. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly. I want you to notice the word I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Look down to verse, well, let's read on. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee. Now David had sinned. Now he's got one of three choices. Look at it. Either 3 years of famine, that's one choice, number one, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes or the enemies in battle, that's choice number two. While that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. All right, David has one of three choices. 3 days of pestilence, that's disease and suffering sent from God, or 3 months to be destroyed by the enemy, or 3 years of famine. Let's see what David chooses. Verse 13. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. This is what he's saying. He's saying, I choose the 3 days of pestilence. But let me not fall into the hand of man. He's saying, I don't want to be in war against the enemy. So the Lord sent pestilence over Israel. Now get this. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Remember back up yonder in verse 8, David said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Never one time did it say, we have sinned. I have sinned. And that's true. This was a sin that David committed. 70,000 men, it says, were killed. Now look at verse number 17. And David said unto God, is it now? Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? He said, I'm the guy that sinned. Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, he's talking about the people now, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Father, bless our study tonight. I believe it's a very nerve center kind of a study. So I pray you'd help me and help those of us who hear. Speak to our hearts and teach us what we need to learn so we can do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians. We're going to come back to 1 Chronicles after a while, but for right now to Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 10. I want you to really give me your attention tonight. The study is called The Science of Temptation. The Science of Temptation. Now, this is a science of Satan. I want you to notice his wiles. Starting with verse 10, we'll come back to 1 Chronicles after a while. But right now, Ephesians 6:10. Finally. All right, let's stop there. The word finally doesn't start a new subject. It ends an old subject. Is that right? All right. So we're not starting anything new. Mr. Scofield, in his notes here, which of course are not inspired and quite uninspired sometimes, Mr. Scofield, in his division here, changes and gives a brand new point. But that's his, not the Bible. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. There it is again, same statement. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we're going to talk, just read a bit about what is the whole armor of God. I brought a message at the college, and I've used it around the country a time or two, but I've not brought it here, and that's not the sermon tonight, but I want to introduce what I'm going to say with this. We're talking about the whole armor of God. Now, there are only four things, only four parts of the body that the armor covers here. Notice, if you would please, in verse number 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the first thing that's covered. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the second thing. First the loins, and then the breast, the heart area, if you please. And your feet, that's the third thing, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the fourth thing that is a part of the armor, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now look at me. In this armor, there are only four things that God tells us to cover. He says the helmet of salvation. He says cover your head. He said the breastplate of righteousness. He says cover your heart. He says your loins girt about with truth. He says cover your loins. And he says having your feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, he says cover your feet. Now, if the devil ever gets you, he'll get you one of those four places. He'll enter your head with some wacky doctrine, or with some evil thoughts or wicked thoughts. Enter into your heart, he'll take your joy away, take your shout away. Enter in your loins with evil, or your feet, you'll quit soul winning. Now, enough for that. But there are four things that we're to cover. Now then, I want you to notice verse 10 again, would you please? Finally. Now that that connects it with what goes before. Now look at me carefully. Let me tell you what goes before. What goes before is God speaking about our relationship with each other. But right before this, he's talking about masters and servants, or employers and employees. Now he said his relationship with the employer and employee, and vice versa. Right before that, he's talking about the father and child, the parent and child relationship. And right before that, he's talking about the husband-wife relationship. Or look at me. He says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. He said, husband, love your wives. He says, children, obey your parents. He says, parents, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He says, masters, be good and treat properly your servants. And servants, obey your masters. Now he's talking about those three relationships. Husband, wife, parents, children, employer, employee. Now he says, finally. And then he inserts here the discussion of the whole armor of God. Now what's he saying here? He's saying, dads, you put on the armor of God, and you also take the shield of faith and protect yourself and your children. He's saying, husbands, you take the shield of faith here and protect yourself and your wife. He says, leaders, you take the whole armor of God here and take that shield of faith and protect yourselves and your followers. Now, let me say this. God is talking about human relationships. He's also talking about the devil getting through. He's saying, don't you let the devil get through to you or to yours. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, don't you let the devil get through to you or your wife or your children or your employees or those who follow you. Now listen carefully. Satan is trying to get you, but that's not what he's primarily trying to do. He's trying not to just get to you, but he's trying to get through you. The devil has a bigger goal than you. He's interested in getting you and yours. We are not only shielding ourselves, but keeping the darts from others who follow us. Now, it is far more far-reaching than just me. Now, you say, it's my business what I do. Now, that's a lie. It's more than your business what you do. It's your wife's business. It's your child's business. It's your followers' business. It's your employees' business what you do. And God is saying, he's saying, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the devil's after you. But he's not just after you. He's trying to get the leader so he can get through to the follower. He's not just after you, but he's also after yours. Now listen carefully and I'll tell you what I mean. Satan comes in the Garden of Eden. He comes to tempt Eve. You know the story. How that Eve succumbed to the Satan's temptation. Now the devil was after Eve, but the devil was after more than Eve. The devil was also after Adam. For the devil knew if he could get Eve, he could get Adam. So I'm saying, look at me now and put your pens down. When the devil comes to get you, he's after more than just you. He's after yours. The devil says, I want Eve. But the devil knew if he could get Eve, he could get Adam. So he was after Eve, but he was also trying to get to Adam. Okay, he gets Eve. Now he gets to Adam. He's after Adam. But he's after more than Adam. He's after Cain. He's after his firstborn child. He's after Cain. So, when the devil came to Eve, if Eve had been the only one involved, it would have been bad, but not catastrophic. But the devil is after Cain. Now he said, if I can get Adam, I can get Cain. So he's after Adam. But if I can get Eve, I can get Adam. So he comes in an effort to get Cain. He comes to get Adam. In an effort to get Adam, he comes to get Eve. Now, folks, listen to me. If I were to quit and turn back, the devil would have more than me. And if you quit and turn back, the devil will have more than you. He's not just after you. If that's the case, David said a while ago. Well, it wasn't a while ago. He said it years ago. But read it a while ago. My age, it was just a while ago. But David said, why are you punishing the sheep? I sinned. I numbered the people. I did evil. Punish me. I'm the one that has done wrong. Punish me. But 70,000 men died because David had sinned. You think the devil was just after David? Not on your life. He was after 70,000 people, and everybody those 70,000 people had influence over. You teenagers fiddling around with rock music, and you folks flirting around with the television programs you shouldn't be watching, and you people that lay out of church on Wednesday night most of the time. I'm saying that if you were the only one involved, but you're not the only one involved, you have some influence, and you sit with the house. Why would God punish? I don't why God. I just tell what. I don't know why God does what he does. If I knew why God did what he did, I wouldn't have a very big God if I could understand him. But regardless of whether you know why he does it, he does it. God said, Eve, I want you. The devil said, Eve, I want you. And Eve succumbed. And then the devil's not through. He goes to Adam. For the way to Adam is through Eve. Okay, he has Adam, but that's not all he had in mind. Oh, listen, this is going to get big in a minute. He said, I want Cain. Well, how am I going to get Cain? Get his dad. How am I going to get the dad? Get his wife. So he gets Eve. He's after Cain. He gets Eve. so he can get Adam, so he can get Cain. But that isn't all. He's not just after Cain. For Cain led in the building of a city, the first civilization in all the Bible. The city's name was Enoch. And Cain was the man who migrated and was the one who built that, who led in the establishment of that city that was named Enoch after a man named Enoch. Now, wait a minute. That city became wicked. That city was judged by Almighty God. Satan said, I want that city. How can I get that city? By getting Cain. How can I get Cain? By getting Adam. How can I get Adam? By getting Eve. Ladies, when the devil comes to you and tries to get you, he's after far more than you are. He's after those that you love the most. And men, when the devil comes to get you, you're not his only victim. He's not just after you. He's after those you love the most. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sure, that's why God said it. God said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, why did God say it at that place? He'd just been talking about the father, about parents and children. Put on the whole armor of God so your children won't get damaged and you won't get damaged. Put on the whole armor of God so you, the devil won't get you. He won't get your wife. He won't get your children. Put on the whole armor of God so the devil won't get your Sunday school class. He won't get your classroom. He won't get your choir. He won't get your basketball team. He won't get your school that you principal. He won't get the church you pastor. He won't get the bus kids that you guide and lead. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's after far more than you. He's after yours. He comes to Eve and says, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. You'll decide yourself what's good and evil. You'll be like God. The devil gets Eve. There's not a man in this world who loves his wife who is not affected tremendously. It's easier for a woman to lead a man to sin than it is for a man to lead a woman to sin. Don't you do? you give me people who marry in different denominations. Denominations, you know what I mean, churches. The man goes to one denomination and the lady goes to the other. I'll promise you, in 95% of those cases, they go to the woman's church. You say, is that because the man is a mouse and mealing out? No, because he loves her deeply. He wants to please her. Adam had already been tempted by Satan. Satan couldn't get Adam. He was not deceived. Adam openly chose to sin to please Eve. That's why it said by one man. Listen to me. That's why it said by one man sin entered the world, not by one woman. Though Eve sinned first, Adam had been approached by the devil. He was not deceived. He was not fooled. He did not sin. And the devil said, I'll be back. I'll take another route. I'll get your wife. I'll get the woman you love. I'll get the woman you think is the prettiest woman in the whole world. Nobody's home, are they? He goes to Eve. Because the devil knows Adam wants to please Eve. So, listen. I can tell you couple after couple that's left fundamental churches in America. I'll guarantee you 99% of the couples, the wife is the one that makes the decision. We have visitors come to our church. Here's a middle-class American couple. And they'll come to our church to visit. And boy, I'm up here preaching. Listen to me now. I'm preaching, and boy, he goes, wow. He goes, you know what? He's trying to please her. So, the devil comes to eat Adam. He can't get Adam. Adam is not deceived. He comes to Eve is deceived. Eve was not the first one that sinned. Adam was the first one that sinned because Adam knew what he was doing. So, he comes and says, Eve, I want you, but I want Adam. I'll get, now also, I want Cain. Well, how can I get Cain? Through Adam. How can I get Adam? Through Eve. Then how can I get Cain? Through Eve. I want to destroy that city. I want to destroy the city of Enoch. I want the wrath of God on that city of Enoch, the devil says. Well, how can I get Enoch? I'll get Cain. How can I get Cain? I'll get Adam. How can I get Adam?
I'll get Eve.
But that isn't all. Here's the shocking thing. In chapter 3 of Genesis, God gets Eve. In chapter 3, God gets Adam. In chapter 4, God gets Cain. In chapter 4, God gets the city of Enoch. And in chapter 6, the devil gets the whole world. Are you listening? The flood.
And we're not talking about 500 people alive. We're talking about a world that was populated like the world is now. We're talking about a heavily populated world with nations and countries like we have now. We're talking about an entire civilization, and the wrath of Almighty God was poured on the entire world. Why?
Because the devil did it. Well, how did the devil get the world? The devil got Enoch, the city. How did the devil get the city? Got Cain, its founder. How did the devil get Cain? Got Adam, his father. How did the devil get Adam? He got Eve, his wife.
So it's more to it, little punko. When you decide you're not going to listen to Brother Hiles, and you decide you're going to go your own stupid, idiotic, ignoramus way, there's more to it. The devil's after your unborn children. I'm saying the devil is after not just you. The devil's after yours. That's the science the devil uses to destroy a church. I can tell you church after church been destroyed by one deacon. I can tell you church after church been destroyed by one woman. That means if you're a faculty member at Hiles Anderson College and the devil tempts you, that means that there's more at stake than just your neck. When all of a sudden there's a temptation for you to do wrong, that means those bus people that you lead, those pupils that you teach, those folks that work for you, they're at stake. If tonight the devil were to come and tempt me to quit the ministry, there'd be thousands and thousands and thousands of people at stake. He's not just after me. He's after mine. And he's not just after you. He's after yours.
You say to the house, I don't see that. All right, let me show you. You get six people in a car and have the driver be drinking, and he has a wreck. You think just the driver's going to be killed? When that driver goes well over the speed limit, even if he's sober, he is not only taking his own life in his hands, he's taking the lives in his hands of everybody in that car. And you have a car, a spiritual car, a group of people who look to you. It may be a few in a Sunday school class. Listen, through these years, we've had a few of our folks to kick traces. We've had a few people that work in some of our school ministries who've kicked traces. I'll guarantee you, listen to me, I'll guarantee you that there are students who would have been in Hiles Anderson College who did not come back to Hiles Anderson College because a leader felt like it was just up to him or her as to what he or she did. But it's a whole lot more than that. It's not a matter of your own selfish appetite. It's a matter of everybody who looks to you as their leader. That's why Paul could say, Philippians, jitter, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He said, if you'll get saved, your whole house will get saved. And the same thing is true conversely so. When you are tempted by the devil, he is after you, but he's after more than you. He's trying to get to you and get through you. He's trying to get to those over whom you have influence and authority. Now back to 1 Chronicles, please. Back to 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, page 499. Let's make it verse 1 of chapter 21. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, what was that? Satan said to David, look at me. Satan said to David, you number Israel. What does that mean? It means you prepare Israel for war when I say don't do it. He's saying, get ready to fight. Satan said, you get ready to fight. Now, no nation ought to be offensive. A nation ought to have ample security forces
to protect itself, but a nation shouldn't attack unjustly another nation. But the devil came and said, David, you number Israel. Look at verse 2. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. Now look at me. The devil came to David and said, David, I want you to sin. That's all. Okay. So I sin. So I pay for it. No, it's not that easy, David. It's not that easy, young folks. It's not that easy, staff members. It's not that easy, college people. It's not that easy, faculty. Listen, I promise you this. You can take a faculty member at Hammond Baptist High School or Junior High School or Grade School or Howells Anderson College, and you get that faculty member disgruntled, I'll promise you he'll get others disgruntled. And there's nothing as much out of hell, now get this carefully, there's nothing as much out of hell as for somebody who is in a place of leadership to be disloyal to folks that are in a place of leadership above him, and to try to steal the followers from those who have given you your job. You are a sorry skunk. You know what I mean? You stink. You are a sorry, good-for-nothing, lousy skunk. You see, you're talking about me? Probably am. If you ask the question, I am. You're a skunk. Polecat. That's what you are. Black and white. Now, you listen carefully. I don't care who you are. If you become anything, some of those that follow you are going to become that. One of the greatest things these men on the platform do to me, you can start over here and go all the way over here, and every other man that ever sits on this platform, is they try to tie those who follow them to their preacher. The other day I went over to Jeff Owen's Sunday school class. That was a big day, and I went over and said hi in the morning. That class loves me. You know why that class loves me? Because Jeff Owens has taught them to love me. And that's what it's supposed to be. But you let Jeff Owens get cattywampus with me, and he will have some members of that class get cattywampus with me also. Now, listen carefully. You will not sin alone, because the devil is not after you alone. David sinned. Let's see what happened. Verse number 3. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth thou, my lord, require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass, oh my soul, to Israel? Why will David's sin be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word, that's David's word, prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. Now I won't go any further there. But David had numbered the people. Now in verse 8, we'll start up again. And David said unto God, who sinned? Tell me, who sinned? David. All right. I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. Who had done this thing? David. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant. Who was the servant? For I have done very foolishly. Who had done very foolishly? David. Hey, the devil was after David, wasn't he? Yeah, but not just David. Not just David. Now you listen. To whatever degree God has given you authority, you are responsible for those under your authority. And if you do well, they will be blessed. If you do evil, they will suffer. I don't understand you men, some of you. You got children coming up. Some of you unmarried fellows, you're going to get married one of these days. You have unborn children, you're going to father one of these days. And you are taking their lives and just tossed up in the air. Hey, unborn child! I'll take my chances. I'll drink my liquor. I'll smoke my cigarettes. I'll take my chances, unborn child. I'll take my chances. It's my life. No, it's not your life. It's that child you're messing with. It's that child's life. It's not not just your life, Eve. It's Adam's life. It's not just your life, Adam. It's Cain's life. It's not just your life, Cain. It's Enoch, the city of Enoch's life. It's not just your life, Enoch. It's the whole world's life.
And the world is plunged into chaos and death and disease and a flood, and only 8 people live that would never have died if Eve had not realized the devil was after more than just Eve.
So, God said to a seer, sort of a prophet-like person, named Gad, go to David. Give David 3 choices. 1, tell David he had 3 years famine. Now, hey, look at me. If there's 3 years famine, David's not going to eat. Is that right? Who else is not going to eat? Everybody in the land. You don't have a famine in one house. 3 years famine. Or, it said, he destroyed for 3 months with our enemies. If the enemies come to destroy, they're just going to kill David. And then are 3 days of pestilence. That's disease. And David chose the latter, thinking God would be more merciful. Look at verse number 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000.
How would you like to be David right now? You're going down the street in your chariot, and you see a processional. Listen to me. Funeral. Who's being buried? One of the men that died because you sinned. David drives by an orphan's home later on. Orphanage is filled with little children. What are they doing there? Their parents were killed. Epidemic, disease. David says, when? Well, back during the 3 days. And David looks at that orphanage and realizes that he is responsible for that orphanage. Can you imagine? Here's a widow, starving. And David said, your husband, where's your husband? He's dead.
When did he die?
Well, he died during 3 days. So 3 days he had. And David looks at that widow and realizes that the lady is a widow because of him. The devil is after yours.
And when he comes to tempt you, it is more than you he wants, and it's more than you he'll get.
Oh, I wish you could hear me out now. Oh, I wish you could hear me. Every one of you college fellows that are married, fold up your dirty tents and you yell a yellow-spined and your cowardly character, you run back home with your tail tucked under yourself and go back home. You're not leaving that little baby up here alone. The baby goes too. Look at verse number 17. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Is it not I that have sinned and done evil indeed? But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, be my God. Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. You hear me carefully. When Bill Clinton stands before God Almighty, Bill Clinton is going to have the hands of Americans by the millions, the blood of those Americans dripping off his hands.
Why? There's more to it than just letting the queers in the armed forces.
Every case of AIDS that comes out of that garbage, Bill Clinton is responsible for.
Every one of them.
What a wicked man. What a wicked man. And he's more wicked because he's toting the Bible to a so-called Baptist church, just like Mr. Carter did.
Church he goes to is no more Baptist than the church across the street is. The preacher of that church is no more a prophet of God than that man across the street, whatever that is across the street is. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with us? We have all of those under our authority.
Their future hangs in the balance when our future hangs in the balance. We sing, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. We don't sing that right. It ought to be, oh, be careful, great big hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, great big hands, what you do. I thank God tonight for one day in my life when I was 3 years old. My father was drunk. He came home. My mother was there, and I was there. I was about 5 years old. I loved my father. He was a strong man, a big man. He was my hero. I loved my mother, but I was used to her. I didn't see my father much, and his coming home was different. I'll never forget this day on Montreal Street in Dallas, Texas, in Oak Cliff. My daddy got over here on this side of the room and said, Costa, you sit over here. And my mother sat over here, and my daddy sat over here, and daddy said, Jack, you stand right in the middle of the room. And my daddy said, who you like the most? Come to the one you like the most. And my daddy held his hands out and said, come to me. And my mother, weeping, held her hands out and said, son, I beg you, you come to me. Do you understand that at that very moment, your future was being determined? You understand that you young people here, I was deciding for you at the age of 5. I wanted to go to my daddy. And I turned to go, and I heard mother's sobs, and I turned and walked to mother. How I thank God I chose my mother's way instead of my daddy's way. When that little whore in front of the Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas, one night when they'd set me up with a whore for a date and I didn't know who she was. When that little whore and the two other couples opened a bottle of whiskey and they drank from it and gave it to me, and I sat there holding a bottle of whiskey in my hands, not wanting to be different. And that's why you shouldn't be with the wrong. You shouldn't run with the crowd where you got to be different to do right. And I was holding that bottle of whiskey in my hand. Bill, I was holding your life in my hand. Ray, I was holding your future in my hand. I was deciding then whether or not there'd be a house at Anderson College someday. Do you see what I'm saying? It's been a long time since I've told this story, and I'll close with it. You old-timers have heard it. You young folks haven't, unless you read it in one of my books. When I was in high school, I had a friend whose name was Richard Newton. I've loved people more than I love Richard, but I've never had a friend outside my own family that I spent as much time with as I did Richard Newton. The men in ministry I've had in the big churches have not allowed me to have time to have intimate relationships with members of the church and staff members and so forth. Richard Newton and I went to high school all the way through together. He lived about a mile from me. Every other morning, I'd ride my bicycle to his house. We'd catch a bus, city bus, and ride to high school together. Every other morning, he would ride the distance to my house. We never went to school unless we sat side by side on the bus. That's when I was sick. We took 40 courses in W.H. Adamson High School. 39 of them we took together and sat side by side. 39 out of 40 courses we sat side by side. The first date I ever had was a double date with Richard Newton. He and I dated together. Richard's dad was a deacon. Both of us very faithful to church. Came time for us to graduate. We decided to double date on our senior day. It was on a Sunday. We had, those days you had two graduations. You had commencement, and then you had baccalaureate. That was a religious service. Even the public schools had them. Our commencement was Southern Methodist University in McFarland Auditorium, and our baccalaureate was at Cliff Temple Baptist Church on a Sunday morning in Dallas, Texas. Richard took B. Tate, I took Peggy Render. We double dated on our senior date. Now wait a minute. We went to church, baccalaureate.
went out to eat a bite together, and then went to Margaret Mary Mayer's house for open house in the afternoon. They also were seniors. Mary was senior. Margaret, her younger sister. We had some refreshment there, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We had nothing else to do between that and church time on Sunday. Richard said, "Jack, where do you want to go the rest of the day and the evening?" And I said, "I want to go." "What do you mean, where do you want to go?" "Go to church, of course." "Oh," he said, "hold it, Jack." He said, "This is senior day. One time in a lifetime. Nobody goes to church on senior day night." "Oh," I said, "but we do. I do." "No," he said, "Jack, you don't understand. All of our senior class is going to a nightclub tonight. We're supposed to meet there." I said, "Richard, your dad's a deacon. You and I have grown up in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What are you talking? We wouldn't know what to do in a night." He said, "Jack, this is graduation night. We'll never do it again." And his girlfriend, B. Tate, said, "What in the world's wrong with you, Jack? Don't you know what today is?" And my date, Peggy Render, whom I thought was one of the finest young ladies in our church, she said, "What kind of date did I draw for senior day?" I said, "Peggy, I can't believe what I'm hearing. You and I have grown up in church, the same church. Richard, your dad's a deacon in a Baptist church. B, you go to church faithfully. It's Sunday night. We're supposed to go to church." And Richard said, "Okay, we'll make a deal with you. We won't go to the nightclub. We'll compromise. We won't go to church. We won't go to the nightclub. We'll go to a drive-in movie." Do you understand that many hundreds of you were hanging in the balance that afternoon? Do you understand that? And many hundreds of unborn people are hanging in the balance when you decide you're going to do right or wrong. You say you don't believe in abortion, and yet Christian people that could be born again are being aborted every day because of your wicked life. And because you wash out, give up, turn back. And there for about 15 minutes, almost exactly in the same block where Lee Harvey Oswald lived, and within a few blocks of the Texas Theater where he allegedly killed the president, or where he was captured after killing the president, we parked the car near Lake Cliff Park. And I wrestled. And I said, "Richard, I'm going to church." Boy, that saved your neck, many of you. They took me to church and laughed at me. And the three of them, went to a drive-in movie. I called Mrs. Render and I said, "Mrs. Render, I'm no longer responsible for your daughter. I would not go to a movie. It's church night." I walked in that night. My mother was sitting back there. You never saw a prouder woman in your life. And my mother wrote a little note to the pastor. Said, "Pastor Jack is here." The other three went to a drive-in movie at senior day, but Jack is here. And the pastor had me stand. And my church gave me a standing ovation. It seemed so simple. Just one little ghetto-bound boy whose daddy was an alcoholic. It seemed so simple, but it was so important. So very important. The devil is after you, but he's after far more than you. He's after yours. The devil's trying to get to you, but he's trying to get far more than to you. He's trying to get through you. Eve, the whole world is at stake right now. The whole world, in just a matter of years, millions of people are going to die or live, depending on what you do right now. Because the devil wants to get through you to Adam, through him to Cain, through him to Enoch, and through him to the entire world. Be careful. Big hands, what you do. Be careful, big eyes, what you see. Be careful, big feet where you go. Be careful, big ears, what you hear. Be careful, Daddy and Mama and everybody who has or ever will have any influence or authority. The devil's trying to get you, but he's trying to get through you to them. Okay.